This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
Week 2 in DFS. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the DFS show. It is week 2 in the NFL. We've got a lot of fun things to get to. We're going to break down the games, and I want everybody out there to know I did hear you. I listened to you. I understand there's some things that you missed from this format last year that were not here. Rest assured, I'm going to bring them back. And I'm also going to bring back one of my favorite people to talk about DFS with, and that is Elliot Crist. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at Elliot Crist. He's the COO, the CTO. He's got a lot of letters in front of his name over at the FTN Network. I've known Elliot for quite some time. He's one of the best DFS and wagering minds out there. So I wanted to pick that big giant brain of his and that giant tall body. Whenever I stand next to Elliot, I feel shorter than I am, but that's okay. Today, my friend, we will stand tall and try to conquer week 2. How are you? Welcome to the show, buddy.
Oh, man, it's great to do a show with you. You are pros pro. Your intros are just the greatest thing ever. I do think it's hilarious that when people see me on camera, they're like, are you like 5'7 or 5'8? And then I meet people.
That would be me.
And then they're like, oh my God, you're a monster.
You're not a monster. You're a lovable H&R Puffin stuff, enormous human being who can drink with me at the bar. And that's the nice thing, you know, that's the leveler where you and I can go to the bar at the same time and have the same amount. That is what it's all about at the end of the day, I think. But obviously today, like I said, we're going to break down the week 2 slate. And just, you know, from going out there too, and I want to address this with the audience too, for those people who've been listening to the show for a long time. And, you know, I've been doing shows since 2013 covering DFS. Did them at Sirius XM Radio. I worked for FanDuel for an entire year when they actually used to have content back in the day. And, you know, Elliot, to me, going through game by game is actually something very useful, because site to site, game to game is really, I think, the elevator and the difference maker when it comes to playing. And I think when you talk to people who play for a living or really do this at a very high level, that is typically their process. So it is good to give out picks, but I think at the same time, it's really good to take it to another level. And I think the game-by-game action is a way to do that. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that approach.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's especially for tournaments, right? Large field, you're trying to correlate your success. That's what it comes down to. When you're trying to pick 9 players, you're almost doing it like a parlay, right? When you have a quarterback and 2 of his receivers and then 1 receiver on the other team, you're saying that I think this game shoots out. And if it shoots out, I think it's going to be through the air, right? So you start telling yourself a story where you have to get less stories right. And then you mentioned the site-by-site. Like, that's huge for ownership as well. I mean, Elijah Moore obviously busted last week, right? But you look at him on DraftKings, and he was a top 3 owned receiver, and you look at him on FanDuel, and he was sub 5%. It's a situation where, you know, he was probably a bad play on DraftKings, but a good play on FanDuel. Right. Just from an ownership perspective, and then from a salary perspective and rule scoring perspective, like, Derrick Henry's more valuable on FanDuel because it's half PPR versus PPR, right? And it doesn't kill you as much. But at the same time, you could say, well, he's probably a lock for 100 yards on the ground, which is the bonus, right? So, like, understanding the site-to-site rules, understanding the site-to-site ownership, salary discrepancies, like James Robinson, for example, last week on FanDuel, everyone called him, like, the free square, but on DraftKings, people didn't necessarily look at him. And there ended up being very similar pivots on both sites. Like,
yeah.
Raheem Mostert, yeah. Of course, that one also didn't work out. But
yeah, but Raheem Mostert was good theoretical. Like that's something I will never, you know, guy gets hurt in a game, that's out of your control. But the good theory behind it is what I think you always want to base stuff on. And I feel like, you know, that's all you can do for the most part is put yourself in those good situations. And the funny thing is that week one scoring in terms of pricing, you get everybody, you know, you're getting these weird discounts because of who won a job and who got hurt and all these other things that kind of come to fruition because the pricing gets set so far in advance, whereas week two, now it really begins, I feel like, Elliot.
Oh, 100%. Week one, there's more value on the board, and it's more just play whoever you want because there were like six min price guys that were viable last week. You go look at min price guys this week, and you're like, oh, the fourth receiver on the Jets, Braxton Berrios? That sounds fun this week. You know, there's not guys necessarily locked into as much volume. Which is also what makes week one game theory very interesting. Because you mentioned games, right? So Kyler Murray and Jalen Hurts were two guys I was huge on last week. You know, went out on a limb on those two. I like those games. Unfortunately, the games didn't run it back. But, like, Christian Kirk's a great example where everyone wanted to play Rondell Moore, but no one played Christian Kirk. Also, no one played A.J. Green, who ended up out-targeting Moore, got an end zone target. He just ended up with nothing. But at the same time, you're like, all right, so I have a guy that's going to have a similar role in a similar setup at 10x less ownership. If I like Kyler and his receivers, let me make sure I sprinkle in different guys in the game, right? Especially with the receiver position, when you're trying to pick on secondaries. How often have we seen, oh, we all think it's going to be this receiver, and then ends up another receiver on that team, right? So that's where the games come in and running multiple lineups and just trying to build around certain games. And then if you get those games right, you can have massive weeks.
Yeah, I was in with you in that Philly Atlanta game last week, but unfortunately Atlanta did not live up to their expectations, but that's okay. We shake the dust off and we come in there. Luckily I did have more things cashed that did not, so end up being a positive day. But as you said, week one is wacky and lots of strange things happen. Before we get into the action here, I want to remind everybody about the week two best bets show hosted by our own Dan Harris. That's set to publish today on Thursday, same as our DFS show here. So Dan also hosts that early weekly look at the NFL spreads over on Betting Pros. So those are two great Betting Pros podcasts. You can get those Betting Pros podcasts at bettingpros.com/podcast, wherever you listen to your podcasts, okay? So you can download them and subscribe to those. And Dan Harris doing great work there. So you get the spreads and the over-unders on one show on Tuesday, that early look, and then Thursday, more of that breakdown. Plus, don't forget, Scott Bogman and I just recorded last night the college football show. Week three is in full effect, and that is out there, and that was released last night. So go and check that out if you're making any wagers over there. And don't forget about the Daily Juice with Matt Perrault, one of the best in the business. He had a great week last week. Every single day, Matt Perrault is going out there and giving you picks. He's got you covered for NFL, college football, MLB, anything else you could possibly imagine. Go to bettingpros.com/dailyjuice to check out all the great work by Matt Perrault. So let's start with the guys that we're targeting here. I want you to give me your big-time cash RB that you want to pay up for this week, regardless of site, no matter what. This is your guy, and you think that he's a good investment based on that high price tag and the return on investment.
I promise you we're going to have some fun on this show, but I'm going to start boring and just say Christian McCaffrey. Like, he had a floor game last week because he didn't score a touchdown, right? He's selling
with, you're right,
28 DraftKings points, where he missed the bonuses on both by less than 10 yards. The last three games against the Saints, he has 30 total targets. We know that Sam Darnold likes to dump the ball off to the running back as well. He looked phenomenal against the Jets team that has been very good against the run the last few years. They're one of the top adjusted line yards. And they didn't have their starting guards going up against what is the strength of the Jets defense, is the interior defensive line and linebackers. So, you know, the fact that the Panthers are able to win at the line of scrimmage like that, I think the Saints are kind of coming off a very emotional win where everyone doubted them and everything. So I actually like the Panthers to win this game. But I think McCaffrey is just one of those guys that, you know, listen, he's the most expensive player on the slate. He should be the most expensive player on the slate. But the guy's got like 25-point floor and 50-point upside. It's just I don't need to come up with all these fancy analytics to explain Christian McCaffrey. He's just the man, and in cash, I don't know how you don't go that direction.
You know, it's funny. I was talking about McCaffrey on SportsGrid. I do a 2-hour TV show every Sunday morning on SportsGrid from 8 to 10. And the first hour is all DFS. And I was talking about this is the best week in the world to start McCaffrey because of all those mid-salary guys week one that you didn't anticipate being useful. You know McCaffrey's healthy. Go start him. Like, what do you have to lose here? Nothing, because you could actually make McCaffrey work much easier. It's after week one where it gets complicated. But Elliott makes a really good case yet again for McCaffrey. You saw just the floor, basically, and that was amazing. I'm going to go with Nick Chubb in this game. I feel like there's going to be a whole lot of Chubb here at home for Cleveland against Houston. This is a cake matchup for them. Love the touchdown equity. 8,400 over on FanDuel, 78 on DK. Much cheaper on DK, too, because you don't get the full PPR. But I think the touchdown equity makes up for that. How about the wide receiver that you want to pay up for this week, Elliot? Who's that name?
First off, I just want to say I love the Nick Chubb call. Like, that was one of my low-owned guys last week. He's going to go back. The Houston can't stop anyone on the ground. So Nick Chubb should eat them alive. A pay-up guy that I'm in on this week is Keenan Allen. 7K. Last week, people ignored him. What does this man have to do to be – he should be an 8K receiver. Like, here's Keenan Allen. He plays with Justin Herbert, makes it out of the first quarter, averages 8.5 receptions and like 14 targets. Going up against one of the worst secondaries in football, and he runs a lot of his routes in the slot and will avoid Trevon Diggs, which we just saw what Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown did. Like, Cowboys games are going to shoot out.
Yep.
And Keenan Allen is going to get 15 targets against that secondary. Like, the only guy locked into more targets this week than Keenan Allen is probably Alec Ingold, right, the Raiders fullback. Mm-hmm. That's a John Gruden isn't aware of what century it is, Joe. But
man, John Gruden ran so much motion on Sunday night, I got sick.
The passes to the fullback, I was like, oh my God. But Keenan Allen is just – he's the perfect cash game play because his floor-ceiling combination is phenomenal.
Yeah, I love that game, man. And sticking with that game, I'm going with CeeDee Lamb. So there you go. Once again, great minds thinking alike in this one. CeeDee Lamb looks so good in that first game. I know he had a couple drops. I don't care. 6,800, 6,400. You really don't even have to pay that much, I think, for him. And that's why I like him so much. In fact, when you look, Keenan Allen is 7,400 on FanDuel, 7K on DK. He's actually a discount, but I feel like the floor and the ceiling are so high, I just want a piece of them. And therefore, my big pay-up quarterback is going to be Dak Prescott. I think you can go the other side with this with Herbert. Maybe we'll talk about that later. But I'm willing to pay up for Dak because I want that combination. I love that duo. I think that duo is going to just eat all year long. Who's the quarterback that you want to pay up for this week?
Yeah, that Cowboys-Chargers game is going to be one of the games that I just try to get as many pieces in my lineups as possible.
No, I hope it doesn't disappoint us. I'm going to be so mad, Elliot, if it does. I'm going to be texting you on Sunday afternoon.
Listen, when Dak's healthy, right, those games have been – they're throwing for like 800 combined yards in these games. Like, it's absurd what they're doing. So, Dak, Justin Herbert. I'll go a little bit one lower, Jalen Hurts. It's just, you know, he's fantasy gold with his rushing upside. Now he's started – five games, he's completed four. In all four games he completed, he's rushed for over 60 yards. You know, San Francisco's defense didn't look spectacular last week against Detroit. Obviously, some of it was in garbage time, but Eagles front held up. Devonta Smith, I think, is a big add. I just think that Hurts as well as really high floor guys, but I just wanted to go different because Dak and Justin Herbert are going to be two of the four guys that I'm playing as much as possible.
Yeah, well, spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about those guys probably in the next segment on my end. All right, the next one here is the tight end position. And, I mean, if you're going to pay up for a tight end this week, especially because you've got Kansas City on the late slate, does it have to be Waller? Because, I mean, that's who I have, just from the sheer amount of target volume. And I understand the matchup's not great, but game script-wise, you got to imagine it from behind. So Waller's that guy for me. How about you, Elliot?
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders throw 70% of the time when they're trailing. They're underdogs in this game, and Waller just saw 19 targets. Last year, the last five games of the year, he averaged 130 yards through the air and led football the second half of the year in receiving yards. Like, it's him and Travis Kelce that are legit cheat codes. It's
right.
So for me, it's in cash, I'm going up to Waller or I'll punt the position. And then GPPs, I always try to just get a tight end from the games that I'm stacking. It'll be interesting to see, like, a Dalton Schultz, for example, had a good workload last week. Michael Gallup's out. They might run a little bit more 12. It'll be interesting how that goes. But My cash game tight end, I'll go with Cole Kmet at 3,700 on DraftKings. I mean, he saw seven targets last week. He's now seen six or more targets in six of his last seven games going back to last year. As he leads the team in snaps, Cincinnati can't cover anybody. I think Cole Kmet is a guy that's going to end up being like a 5K tight end by the end of the year. And right now there's a nice discount.
Let me tell you, man, Cole Kmet was one of my favorite late tight ends. I tend to punt the tight end position because I didn't have a lot of opportunities to take any of the top guys. And Cole Kmet, Higbee, Jonnu Smith, those are all the guys you're trying to target. And you know what? I just feel like that is the better approach. And that dangerous one this year and season long was that middle tier Mark Andrews just kind of sitting, oh, it's safe. It's going to be fine. I don't know if it is. All right, let's talk about some value on the board. Running back this week, Elliot. I'm looking for value. I'm looking at David Montgomery. You know, David Montgomery, everybody was so blown away in week one. Oh, my goodness, he had a good game against the Rams. David Montgomery deserves a little bit more respect. 7,300 over on FanDuel, 61 on DK. I understand that the ceiling might be limited, but I think the floor is good. The matchup at home against Cincinnati, I think, is also a favorable one. So I think Montgomery's one of the safer guys in terms of ROI. I like him this week, but is there a guy in that middle tier for you at running back that you feel strongly about?
Yeah, I like the David Montgomery call. The Bengals allowed the highest gash rate, which is runs of 10-plus yards last year in all of football. And then week one against a good Rams front, the Bears had the second most open field yards in football. So, like, he looked really good. I like that matchup a lot. Honestly, there's a lot of guys in that 6K range that are good plays. I mean, Najee Harris played 100% of the snaps. We're, like, snaps and weighted opportunity are everything in this position. So Najee Harris played 100% of the snaps. Zeke played 80% of the snaps and is in a great game. And, like, sometimes you can tell that a guy's ownership is going to be down because all the fantasy Twitter is saying, trade Zeke away, like, panicking.
Right, of course.
And now he's a guy that's typically an 8K running back at 6,200 in a high-total game where everyone's going to go to the pass options. This isn't the Bucs they're playing. And then, interestingly enough, Daryl Henderson basically played all but one snap in that game. They got all but one opportunity. Yeah. So, like, that's the Colts got beat up on the ground versus the Seahawks. And Chris Carson, and I know I'm kind of cheating, but I'm just trying to say, like, that 6K range is incredibly strong. With Chris Carson just got 70% of the snaps for the first time in 2 years. Like, he's kind of – and Penny got hurt. So he's getting a workhorse role where, like, that's the range I really want to focus on is the 6K running back range.
Yeah, you mentioned Najee, too. I think after that quiet week one, too, there'll be some scared roster percentage that'll be a lot lower. And I think you take advantage of that because you're right. This is the identity of this football team in a perfect world is to play defense and be a little bit more conservative and run the football. They just had a tough time against Buffalo in Buffalo. Buffalo's defense is good, and it was just – it was a tougher slog. It's week one, but I think after this, you kind of knock the dust off a little bit. Let's talk about wide receivers in that mid-range. T. Higgins, you know, I was so concerned last week about Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase because I just wanted to see Joe Burrow be healthy on the field for more than two plays. And I saw that. Now I feel better about it. Once again, going back to that same game with the Bears, I imagine that Burrow's going to have to throw the football. My goodness, the secondary looked like they did not have any communication whatsoever in that game. And I know Stafford and that offense is very good, but at the same time, my goodness, I want to pick on the safeties and the corners there, and T. Higgins is that guy for me. Do you have a value wide receiver you like this week, Elliot?
Yeah, there's some bad secondaries in football. Like, I don't think the Cardinals got exposed, but the Jets got exposed, the Bears got exposed. I'll stick with Cooper Kupp at 6K. If I have to go cheaper than that, I would pick Corey Davis just because he looks like he's going to be locked into 8 or 9 targets and there's no Stephon Gilmore. I know we're talking about it on Sunday Night Football that Cooper Kupp comes in and has breakfast with Matthew Stafford 2 hours before every practice, and it's just them hanging out. They look like they were best friends. Like, they look like they had amazing chemistry. You can really attack the Colts in the slot and get vertical. We just saw Tyler Lockett do that. I think Kupp is a guy that's I'm looking for volume. Right, in this wide receiver position, I'm looking for guys that are going to see 7-plus targets and can get up to 13, 14. And Cooper Kupp, I think, has that kind of ability.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Fight Camp. Have you ever wanted to learn how to box or kickbox from real fighters? You want to get your kids involved in a fitness journey while teaching them a valuable skill? Fight Camp brings the boxing and kickboxing gym right to your home with full body workouts that you'll actually look forward to and a freestanding punching bag that can take your hardest hits. Fight Camp is made for beginners or experienced boxers, and it comes with all the gear you need to box with at home, including that freestanding punching bag, boxing gloves, quick hand wraps, and their unique punch tracking sensors that challenge you to hit the minimum amount of punches each round and allow you to track your boxing and kickboxing journey so that you'll see all the progress you're making. It's great for kids, it's great for adults, it's great for the whole family as an activity. Learn from 6 high-quality trainers with real fight experience ranging from pro MMA fighter to a mother of 2 to a kickboxing champion. Fight Camp uses new tech that tracks each punch you throw to measure speed, volume, and output so you can follow your progress, push yourself, and compete in community leaderboard challenges, or just challenge others, or just challenge yourself with the new versus mode. You can pay for your Fight Camp over 24 months for less than the cost of a boxing gym, and you get it right away. Plus, Fight Camp offers free shipping with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Just go to joinfightcamp.com/pros. Again, that's joinfightcamp.com/pros to get free shipping on Fight Camp. Again, that's joinfightcamp.com/pros. Join today and get your boxing on. And now back to the action.
All right, let's move on to the quarterback position. My value QB was actually Jalen Hurts, who you mentioned before, 7,800 on FanDuel, 6,500 on DK. And like, it just feels like with the rushing equity, he's got that kind of, you know, just good return on investment. I understand it's San Francisco, but at the same time, it's San Francisco on the road, and that San Francisco defense did let Jared Goff and company get back into that game. So I just want to remind everybody about that. And I think they're reeling a little bit, you know, just kind of mentally after that. What are your thoughts on the value QBs? Is it Hurts? I mean, you know, you kind of mentioned before, but does he kind of check that other tier, especially at 65 on DK?
Yeah, he should be 75, not 65.
I agree.
He's so cheap. Like, if you say I have to pick someone sub 6K, it's probably Joe Burrow to pick on that Bears secondary. Because Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, that's such a cheap stack. You know, you could run it back with Allen Robinson, who was also very cheap, and do a lot of good there. So, but it is Jalen Hurts. I mean, it would be Justin Fields if Matt Nagy would make an intelligent decision, and then we could have a 5K Justin Fields. That would be amazing.
I don't think we should be holding our breath for that. I just want to put that up.
I don't think so either. I just think that the week that they didn't announce it on like a Wednesday, that is Justin Fields. He's going to be like 80% owned at 4,700 and score 30 DK points.
All right, my value tight end is Rob Gronkowski this week. I'm trying to paint a scenario where I don't see him in the end zone, and I can't come up with it. I just can't. 5,800 over on FanDuel, 47 on DK. It's a tremendous value. There's one guy actually cheaper on DraftKings. I'm going to talk about in the next section here, but look, Gronk is you know what, about the same age as Kelsey. I think we forget that, and I kind of talked about that on yesterday's show a little bit. And I feel like when you're talking about Rob Gronkowski in this offense in particular, the touchdown equity is going to be huge because Brady trusts him when they get down to the red zone. And it's a great matchup against the Falcons. And I just don't want to overthink this. Gronk is a good ROI because you're just looking for that TD. Is there a value tight end in your mind this week that sticks out to you?
I'll just say, like, if Gronk plays like he did on Thursday Night Football, like if Gronk is now like healthy and back to any form of what he once was, just hand them the rings now. There, no one is stopping that offense. It's absurd. And
the defense ain't too shabby neither. No,
their entire team is absurd. You look at the roster and you're just like, it's like that high school player. He's like, dogs. That's a dog. But Gronk is, I think, a really interesting guy where I think a lot of people are going to say that was his ceiling game and I'm not going to go back to it. And so if you are right that he's going to play at this level, that he's too cheap. I'll go a real value in Dalton Schultz. You know,
yeah,
it's cheap. I love cheap, low-owned tight end plays in games that I want to stack up. No Michael right. Gallup. We saw the 6+ targets. He's actually been really good. He was third in the league in receptions last year. And when he played with Dak, he had some big games. I mean, he caught 17 of 24 passes, 12 of which went for first downs, 2 of which went for touchdowns. And he was playing ahead of Blake Jarwin. So I like him as a real cheap option if we can't get up to the Darren Waller.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about DraftKings. It's great that teams are back on the gridiron, and lucky for us, that was just week one. We got so many more weeks ahead of us, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, is putting you in the center of the action for week two. New customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit by signing up and using the promo code FANTASYPROS. Get in on the action now. It is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code FANTASYPROS
And this week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter that promo code FANTASYPROS to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code FANTASYPROS only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And now, back to the action.
All right, let's go to the GPP plays, and I'm sure Elliot's going to go even deeper than me. You know, Elliot mentioned about the Jets' run defense, but I think from what I saw last week from Damian Harris and Mac Jones, I feel pretty good about Damian Harris. Is almost like a contrarian play when you're looking at it. A guy that I think has a lot of value here potentially in this game, and I think, you know, the fumble issue aside there, I think things will correct themselves a little bit. I think the Jets are going to have a hard time moving that football. I think the offensive line missing Becton is going to be a problem for them. And that means more opportunities for the Patriots. So I'm going to put my investment in that in terms of running back. What are your thoughts when you're looking for a really cheap running back this week that you like in tournament play?
Yeah, the Jets are about to be bad. You mentioned Mekhi Becton. They gave up 4 sacks on 13 snaps he didn't play. That's bad news, yep. Bears. So, like, and Damian Harris is one of those guys that he is very game script dependent, right? So if you do think, and the Patriots, I think, 5.5-point favorites, and it opened at 3.5, jumped to 5.5, which means that a lot of sharp money came in on the Patriots to move the line that early. So if he's one of those guys that stacks up well with his defense, right? That's like a different kind of game stack. It's not, and you're telling a story that Damian Harris has a big game. They're probably playing from ahead, which means that the Patriots defense can tee up. So I like that call a lot. I think I'm going to go, like, Zeke is going to be one of my highest owned GPP guys this week. I'm just going to buy the dip. 80% of the snaps involved in the passing game, we know he's going to get that red zone usage. Like, I love Tony Pollard. I like to joke that I think Tony Pollard's better than Zeke, but Dallas doesn't feel that way. You know, an 80% snap.
They don't yet, but I wonder, you know, it's funny because I was trolling Zeke, and everybody who listens to the Fantasy Pro shows knows that I did not like him as a top 5 safe fantasy investment. Give me all the Chubb over Zeke, 6th year in the league, blah, blah, all this stuff, right? And I start realizing if I'm going to feel this way about Zeke, I better start drafting Tony Pollard everywhere. So many of my rosters have Pollard. I wonder, you know, if not that it becomes a committee, but, you know, he had 100 carries last year. Pollard might work himself into a role this year, Elliot, where maybe Pollard is a little bit more involved as a normal piece of this offense than people realize going forward.
No, absolutely. And I think he should be. I mean, I think he's a more talented pass-catching back. But as long as Zeke's going to play 80% of the snaps and have massive touchdown equity, like, it's also very early to, you know, we're recording this on Thursday morning, right? So a lot of, you know, ownership percentage data isn't out yet. So, like, if Zeke becomes a popular guy, I'm out. But if Zeke is going to be a contrarian play, I'm in. The other guy in that range is Chris Carson. He looked fantastic. The Seahawks O-line looked good, too, against the Colts front that has typically been one we avoid. And then you get the 70% snap share. The Titans look like someone stole all their playbooks right before the week. I don't know what happened to the Titans that week, both on offense and defense. But, you know, I like him as a 6-point home favorite. 6,100, 70%+ of the snaps, no penny, and then he's going to catch a bunch of passes. You know, he's just one of those guys that bores a lot of people, and then every week you check and he ends up with 20 draft.
You're 100% correct, man. I love Carson. That's another player that I think is grossly undervalued, and I like that you brought up that matchup too, that, you know, people, you know, might steer away from necessarily, but maybe you shouldn't. Here's a question for you too. Wide receivers, who's a cheap one you like this week in tournaments that you think has a chance to go off?
Yeah, I mean, a chance to go off, but like Kyler Murray is a guy that I'm going to play again. I'm going to play Kyler every week until he has a shoulder injury, right? Because he averages over 31 DraftKings points per game. It gets absurd. But then people like to stack him up with Rondell Moore and DeAndre Hopkins. So like I'm interested in maybe going back to some Christian Kirk. AJ Green at 3,700, like he was running as the wide receiver too and saw 6 targets. And the Vikings secondary and entire front was bad. The Bengals, what was the entire draft season joke? Just talking about how Penei Sewell versus Jamar Chase, right? And the Bengals can't block a soul. Their tackles allowed 0 pressures the entire week last week.
You're right.
Were they good or was Minnesota's defense just a train wreck? Because if it's Minnesota's defense was a train wreck at the pace that the Cardinals play, I want to get different players from that offense.
Well, here's the interesting thing too is because if you watch the preseason, Denver made Minnesota kind of look, you know, bad.
defensively too, if you recall that game where all of a sudden Drew Lock looked really good throwing the football and, you know, Javonte Williams was running amok and you're like, wow, I thought this was remade Minnesota defense. Though I don't know. That building can be tough to play in. It's very loud, but you're certainly, you know, bringing up some good points there. I'm going to throw a dart at Tim Patrick this week, maybe in a lineup or two. I just feel like there's opportunity there. Hamler's also got opportunity too. So if you want to kind of mix and match those guys, they're both cheap on both sides, relatively speaking. At quarterback, when you're going lower down, I keep coming back to Burrow, which is funny. Now, I don't know if that offensive line is any good, like you said. I really don't know. What I do think is that the Bears' defense is vastly overrated at this point, and I still think that, you know, they're going to have to keep pushing and throwing the football in this game because I think that's kind of what the Bengals want to do and Joe Burrow wants to do. That's why they drafted Ja'Marr Chase. So give me Joe Burrow, and this one's that cheap quarterback. Who's a cheap quarterback for you when you're looking at that you think has good return? Because Burrow's at 7,100 and just 5,800 on DK.
Yeah, I mean, I like that call a lot. The Bears secondary, I think we've said it like 9 times. Like, pick on bad secondary.
You know what? Let's say a 10. Yeah. Let's say a 10. Let's just say
Let's do it, right? Like, they forgot that they should get corners and safeties at some point on their team. Oops. by the way, one other cheap receiver I like is Jalen Guyton. He's 3,200. He's a big play guy in that Chargers game. Again, getting those low-owned
right.
players from those games we're really attacking, I think, is huge. I mean, Joe Burrow would be mine if I had to pick cheaper. Mac Jones is interesting just from this perspective of, like, Sam Darnold just dropped 280 on the Jets in 3 quarters. That secondary, if you asked, like, diehard Jets fans who the starters at the corner position were for the Jets, I don't think they would know. Like, it's Bryce Hall, Guyton, and Isaiah Dunn, all of which are first- or second-year players, none of which were drafted higher than the 5th round. And they can't get pressure on the quarterback. It is a very bad combination.
It is, man. And Jones' stat line would have been better last week had there not been the turnovers. And I think when you realize that it took away some touchdowns from him potentially that he might have thrown, it also took away, you know, a little bit more yardage when you stop drive. So Jones visually played well, but I thought visually played well all offseason. So, you know, I've been the Mac Jones was going to start week one guy from July 1st. So I was not disappointed what I saw. I think that's a great point. Higbee for me is that cheap tight end at 4,100 because he ran so many routes last week. So I just want to invest in that, especially on DK and the full PPR. I think there's opportunity there. Do you have a cheap tight end that you are looking, because you're talking about that cheap tight end? I assume it's Schultz still in this range for you.
Higbee's too cheap. Higbee's going to end up being the cash game tight end most likely when people don't go off the Waller. That, like, just looking at it, like, he's mispriced, and it's because they played on Sunday night and pricing already came out. And so all the Rams.
But does that make him playable in both then, Elliot? Because, you know, because of Higbee's price, why would you take the floor there at tight end? Are you just worried, like, would the roster percentage be low on him at GPP because people think, oh, he's probably too popular?
I guess it kind of depends on where it goes. Like, if he's sub 10%, I think he's a great play. I think when you get chalky tight ends that aren't Travis Kelce or Darren Waller, like, those guys sometimes end up with 6 points.
Right.
And so there's a lot of ways to get different. Like, if Higbee becomes 25% rostered, I would be nervous about him. But in cash, you know, he's absolutely in play. I really wish Logan Thomas was on this thing. I think he's going to have a monster game.
I know. Me too. I know. I was thinking the same thing when I was like, man, it's not good. I hate those Thursday games where they take away the tight ends. I hate it.
Yeah, and Sunday takes away Travis Kelce, right? But
yep.
I think Lombardi said something about the Giants where they're not aware of what their players do poorly. They think they do it well. So they think that Peppers is a great cover safety, linebacker, whatever you want to call them, on tight ends, and they're just going to get obliterated by tight ends all year long until they realize it. But, yeah, I mean, Higbee, Cole Kmet, Dalton Schultz, those are probably looking at it right now. Those are probably the three guys that I have the most interest in. Noah Fant did look good. Jacksonville can't cover a soul. He's 4,200. Mm-hmm. You know, that Jacksonville defense is bad. Like,
that's why I went to Tim Patrick play in that too, because I think Patrick, Hamler, Fant, one of us is going to be right on, like, whatever combination, one of them is probably going to hit. So if you're playing multi-entry, you might want to just kind of, you know, move the exposure around a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the Texans, we've literally talked about, they had, like, the worst roster ever assembled where they tried to lose games, and the Jaguars gave 38 points to them. It's crazy how bad that Jacksonville defense and Jacksonville team looked. And, you know, Teddy Bridgewater's also been amazing on the road in his career. Well, I hear a crazy betting stat for you that I heard. Teddy Bridgewater, after last week, is now 22-3 against the spread on the road in his career.
Wow. Holy hat. That's crazy.
Yeah. And typically it's his underdogs, not his six-point favorites. But still, like, it's just he plays well on the road. That kind of stuff doesn't rattle him. And getting Denver – getting exposure against teams like the Texans and Jacksonville this year, because those teams can give up 40 points in a blink of an eye, are going to be something I really approach this year.
All right, let's fly through defenses this week. I'm looking at Tampa. I'm looking at New England. Maybe you're onto something here with this a couple of these other ones that we talked about. But who else besides the obvious Tampa and New England do you think have return on investment value?
Yeah, I'm going to be targeting the Jets. I'm going to be targeting the Giants. I'm going to be targeting the Falcons.
All year. Yeah. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, like
I'm just keeping it simple right now. You know.
You know, it's a situation for me where, like, there's not, like, an obvious punt defense. The Browns are another team that I'd be very interested in.
Agreed.
Because they look phenomenal against the Chiefs. They gave the Chiefs all they could handle.
They did.
But going from Patrick Mahomes to Tyrod Taylor, like, that's – you get Clowney, you get Myles Garrett. I thought they did a pretty good job in coverage, too. So the Browns are another team that will have some interest in.
You know what I loved about the Browns, especially early on, is because of the depth of that roster. I made the comment yesterday, or last week, I should say, that, you know, in week one especially, you know, look for the Browns to hang with Kansas City, because in terms of when you're working guys early in rotation where, you know, people are still not up to their football shape necessarily, the Browns are one of those few teams that they can go pretty deep on that defensive side of the ball in terms of guys they can bring in, and it's kind of stunning, and you saw that. I think you kind of saw that in that game. I don't know if I have to ask you this. I'm sure we have the same answer. Stack of the week, I think we both are very excited about Dallas, and maybe we're a little excited about the Chargers as well. Is there any other stack that has a great appeal for you?
Yeah, I mean, that game, I'll definitely have some exposure to, like, Devonta Smith, Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, Jalen Reagor with Jalen Hurts.
In Philly. Yeah.
I want to get some Titans Seahawks exposure too, because if the Titans offense does figure it out, they're explosive, right? And those are the kind of Russell Wilson games you want to get pieces of. And then again, Cardinals Vikings becomes just that Cardinals secondary is abysmal too. It just didn't get exploited last week. So a guy like Justin Jefferson running back, a Kyler Murray team, maybe you're playing Rondell Moore and AJ Green or Christian Kirk as kind of the lower end guys to make it worthwhile to spend up on Kyler and run it back with a Jefferson or Adam Thielen.
All right, Chubb is my lock guy of the week that I just feel really good about what I'm getting, the circumstance, the cost, everything. Who's your lock guy this week?
Yeah, Nick Chubb is a great one. I'm going to go with one of the first names I said. It's Keenan Allen in that game at 7K.
Yeah, it's a good one too.
Especially in PPR formats. Just give me 15 targets. You don't go broke taking a profit, right? Like, you're locked into, like, 14 DK points, worst-case scenario, and he's got 40-point upside.
Yeah, you're 100% correct there. All right, let's fly around the games. We'll do a little fantasy fly around. I'll ask Elliot a question about each of these games. We'll see what his answers are. Let's start with Atlanta and Tampa. When it comes to the Tampa wide receivers, do you have a play this week between the three guys?
One or two of them are going to go off every single week. Right. I know that's Evans will probably have the lowest rostership, so that'll be something I'll be interested in. And Chris Godwin is, I think he's going to be the target monster all year long out of the slot. Mm-hmm. If I had to pick one, it would be Godwin, Evans, and tournaments.
All right. They're all pretty clustered together, obviously, in price normally. And I think that's going to be the case all year. One other quick question. I always say only one, but this is a follow-up. Is there any possible with the game script here where everybody's just out on Fournette, out on Ronald Jones, that one of them has a good game, considering that Tampa could be up in this one?
Yes. I mean, if Ronald Jones doesn't get it done in this game, like after Bruce Arians just endorsed him and said he's the starter against that Falcons defense is so bad as 13-point home favorites.
Yeah. I feel like I got to take one shot at Ronald Jones somewhere just to get everything else I want, because Ronald Jones is cheap and nobody wants to touch him after last week. All right, Buffalo, Miami, obviously kind of a tougher first game here for Josh Allen. You get Will Fuller back in this game. Does Will Fuller make an impact? And if so, does that mean goodbye to Devontae Parker?
He absolutely makes an impact. I mean, this guy's been one of the most fantasy relevant players when he's fully healthy. So it'll be interesting to see who they put Trey White on. But I think Fuller's a very interesting GPP play. And, you know, the Dolphins' defense on the other side at 2,500 on DraftKings is very cheap for the amount they turn the ball over. Josh Allen, you know, looked like he regressed a little last week, and they've got the best quarterback duo in football.
All right, we're in the Cincinnati and Chicago game. You have T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase is $400 cheaper on DK, and he is, let's see, $500 cheaper on FanDuel. Would you favor Chase from what you saw last week and save some cash, or you want to put the investment in Higgins instead?
Both. All right,
No, that's fine. That's a fair answer. I understand where you're coming from there.
Because if I'm going to play Burrow, I want to play both those guys and then run it back with Allen Robinson or Cole Kmet. Robinson is
okay.
Like these 6K receivers this week that get 9+ targets. I want all of them.
No, it's a really good assessment there. You know, we talked so much about this Dallas and Charger game because we talked about Zeke, we talked about Dak, CD Lamb, blah blah blah. We never mentioned Eckler. Eckler is 7,300 over on DK, but over on FanDuel he is 7K, a little bit off of what I think he was normally. But do you think Eckler is another player people should be discussing or looking at this week?
Again, I think he's a great way to get contrarian in that game. Because I think that game's got a real shot to both teams drop 30 points. So
right, and he does catch the football. I mean, it's not like, you know, he's not going to be part of that. Well, yeah. Well, his weird part is, like, you know, there he is last week getting the goal line carries but not catching as many balls. We're looking at each other like, well, that can't last, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to be the thing, is it?
Yeah, if you told me Eckler was going to struggle to get targets, I'd be like, did he get hurt in the game? You wouldn't tell me that he played all those snaps and didn't get targets. But, yeah, like, I love guys like that that have real upside in a game where people aren't playing them but are playing a lot of people in that game. Because then if it doesn't go the way that everyone thinks, you have such a massive advantage on the field.
Now, you mentioned also that when we were talking about this Denver-Jacksonville game, Jacksonville's, you know, defense not good. I made some money last week playing Trevor Lawrence because of the high passing total he had. I anticipate that happening again. He's just 6K this week over on DK. He's 6,900 over on FanDuel. Do you have any love for Trevor Lawrence this week in this matchup at home against Denver?
I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be an interesting play all year. Denver's defense is not one I'm particularly looking to try to attack. And the fact that I can pay a few hundred more and get Jalen Hurts or go down and get Joe Burrow, I try to keep my quarterback pool till 5 or 6. I think Lawrence is probably closer to the 10 range.
Do you think that Lawrence, you know, just running Lawrence by himself too is the smarter play most weeks? As opposed to trying to pair him with somebody and taking that risk?
It depends on how many lineups you're playing and what format you're playing in. Because if he's going to go off for 300 yards, he's taking a receiver with him. But he definitely has the ability to rush for 2 touchdowns in a game and be a good, you know, they like to call it naked play.
Mm-hmm. The naked play, yeah. Houston at Cleveland. Speaking of naked, I think that Houston's going to get undressed in this contest. When we're talking about Odell Beckham missing his second week in a row, does that bump up Jarvis Landry in your mind at all at 6,300 on the DK side? Or do you go a little bit deeper here and look for somebody like, I mean, Schwartz, or you look for a tight end or somebody else to kind of step up here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be the Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt show. I mean,
okay,
like, With Wyatt Teller, this team averages over 30 points per game, and they were averaging 170 yards on the ground. Now they take on the team that was the worst against the running back position last year. They missed the most tackles, they allowed the most yards after contact, and they allowed the most yards per attempt. That's bad news Bears against the Cleveland Browns.
All right, the Rams at Indianapolis. Last week, I know a lot of people were excited about Pittman. I was not one of them. Does Pittman bounce back, or is it Pascal again? Because, you know, they're going to get some points here. I don't think they're going to get shut out against the Rams, and it's something to look at. Now, whether or not it's investable, I don't know, but Zach Pascal is 4,400 over on DK. That's a pretty cheap wide receiver, and he's 5,100 on FanDuel, almost a free square.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Paris Campbell love last week, and it turned out to be Zach Pascal really getting those meaningful slot snaps. Wentz really likes to work the middle of the field and underneath, right? Slot receivers, tight ends, and running backs. Jonathan Taylor had a very interesting game last week where he got very involved in the pass game, despite the fact that they were down, right? He didn't get schemed out. And the Rams just got gutted by Chicago, who, honestly, I don't think anyone thought that was going to happen going into that game. So maybe if you want to be a little ahead of the curve and say the Rams front isn't as good as we think they are against the run, Jonathan Taylor is an interesting GPP play just because we've seen him have massive upside. But in general, I'm kind of just ignoring the Colts.
Fair enough. Let's go to Las Vegas at Pittsburgh. We talked about Najee Harris quite a bit already. We talked about Darren Waller. Let's talk about the Pittsburgh wide receivers. Any love for any of them on either side this week? Deontay Johnson is the most expensive because that's where you're getting, obviously, the targets. But does Claypool have an opportunity this week to maybe return some investment with some touchdown equity?
Yeah. Claypool's biggest games tend to come in games they're trailing. Deontay Johnson's biggest games, though, actually come when they're winning. Johnson just... I feel like you just play him, and there he is. He's like, I got out of the first quarter, and here's my 10 targets. But every first quarter, you have to take that deep breath of, oh, my God, did he die? Claypool does have massive upside, though. I mean, he looks so good. Can Pittsburgh's line hold up in pass protection to allow him to get down the field? Crosby looked awesome on Monday Night Football. And, I mean, that Steelers offensive line is so bad. So I think that's going to eat into Claypool's ceiling a little bit each week.
Minnesota's offensive line struggled as well this past week. Minnesota's traveling to Arizona. Are the Arizona Cardinals defense actually in play this week? As kind of like maybe that low-key punt that we keep looking for at 2,900?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, Chandler Jones just had 5 sacks, right? They have Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt up front. I'm always looking to attack with...
And let's not forget, Isaiah Simmons looks very good, too, now that they finally settled him in at linebacker.
Yeah. Thank you so much for figuring out how to use an amazing player.
Oh, he's not a safety. Okay.
Oh, you mean he played linebacker his entire life, and that's where he's better? I'm shocked that this happened.
I know. It's surprising.
But teams that generate pressure and teams that play bad offensive lines, that's what I'm looking for all day long. So, yes, they're absolutely in play.
What about Christian Kirk, Rondell Moore, any of those guys in play for you this week? I mean, Kirk, obviously the 2 touchdowns, Rondell Moore limited in terms of snap count maybe, but not limited in terms of efficiency, and he is just 4,900 over on FanDuel.
Yeah, if I'm playing...
And 4K on DK, I might remind people too.
If I'm playing Kyler, I'm mixing in these receivers.
Okay.
I think Kyler's such a good 20 max play, and you're just constantly rotating. All 4 of them, to be honest, because... They don't really play a tight end, right? So, like, technically all 4 receivers don't start, but they ran more 4 wide receiver sets than any other team in football last week.
All right. You mentioned before we talked about the Patriots, talking about liking Mac Jones in this game. Can you get involved with any receiver in this game, whether it be Corey Davis, whether it be Nelson Aguilar, Jacoby Myers, or any receiver in this game where you just kind of keep it simple here and Mac Jones by himself, or maybe you sprinkle in a Johnny Smith share?
Yeah, I think Jacoby Myers is really interesting. Again, I'm going to pick on this Jets secondary. I think he's the wide receiver one there. You're talking about Miami last week with Byron Jones and Xavier Howard. Like, that's really tough sledding. I think Jacoby Myers has upside. And Corey Davis, there's no Stephon Gilmore, right? J.C. Jackson is very good. But Davis just looks like he looked phenomenal last week, obviously catching 2 touchdowns. But it's also, you know, when Zach Wilson – finally realized that Tyler Croft isn't the guy he should throw the ball to 9 billion times. There's Corey Davis going all over the field. So he's that 5 to 6K receiver range, and I'll bump it to like 6,300. There's a lot of guys that have 10 target upside in that range, and that's what I'm going to focus on. I think Corey Davis is one of them.
Jameis Winston had a good first game there last week against the Packers. New Orleans will travel to Carolina. Marquez Callaway was a big fat 0 last week. He is 4,200 on DK. Is this a sneaky play, or is this maybe a harbinger of bad things and it was just a preseason fluke?
I want to see what the roster percentage is on him. And that's a cop-out answer. Fair. But like when he became uber chalk going up against Jair Alexander, and he's never done anything in the regular season, like that was an easy fade. But now if everyone's so frustrated, he goes up in price. And we get him against the Carolina secondary. That's not as good as Green Bay, or at least their top guys aren't. J.C. Horn, Chin, those guys are good players, but they're not Jair Alexander.
Speaking of frustrating, yeah. Can we go to the 49ers for a second?
Yes.
49ers at Philadelphia Eagles. Can you invest in any 49er this week and feel good about it?
No.
Boy, that is a long pause, Elliot.
No, I think he has his Here comes Brandon Ayuk, right? Like, oh.
Well, I'm waiting for Trey Sermon to have 15 carries for 110 and 2 touchdowns. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yes. I think that the Shanahans have always been a pain in the butt with running backs. Just what they are. And the 49ers are such a difficult team to figure out.
Yeah. All right. Last but not least, Tennessee at Seattle here. I think we all agree we're going to see a Tennessee bounce back to a certain extent. I don't know if Seattle is quite the home field advantage it used to be back in the day. You've seen the last couple of years them either get real tight in games there or even drop a couple games there. So just want to throw that out there. With a lot of big wide receivers in play in this game, you got A.J. Brown, Julio, DK, Tyler Lockett. I know prices variance on all of them. Julio Jones, the cheapest on both. He's $6,300 on both sites this week, ironically. Is there a way that you would go to get involved with one of the wide receivers here, or do you prefer sticking with the running backs and guys like Henry and Chris Carson?
No, I want these receivers. I want DK Metcalf, and I want Tyler Lockett for sure. That Titans secondary is horrendous. Okay. And the Titans play with good pace. I really hope the Titans actually use play action this week. They use it, I think, 17%, which was down from their 40% last year where Tannehill killed, because I think A.J. Brown is a great run back as well. And I'll probably play a little Julio because I like Payne.
He's the COO and CTO of FTN. I hope you got all that together. Again, check out the FTN network over on the Twitter machine and check out Elliot Crist at Elliot Crist. Elliot, what you guys got going on these days at the FTN? You want to plug, my friend?
Yeah, I've mentioned a lot of wide receiver quarterback matchups, and we're launching our new tool tomorrow, which will have data visualizations, heat maps, player-by-player matchups for basically like how are they targeted, where they line up, fantasy points allowed. We also have that on a team version. You know, I'm really pumped for that, ton of data visualization. So that's going to be awesome at ftndaily.com.
Very nice. Excellent. As always, I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, too. Make sure you check out Fight Camp. Go to Fight Camp. Again, join fightcamp.com/pros. That's how you can get involved, get healthy, learn some boxing, some kickboxing, and change the way you look and the way you feel. And also, don't forget about DraftKings. Download that DraftKings app and use that promo code FANTASYPROS to get a free shot at $1 million in total prizes with your first deposit. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Elliot Crist, I'm Joe Pisapia. We will see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.